Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So we heard the story this morning about the chief tax collector. And I've written in the bulletin a little bit about what the chief tax collector's role was. And what he did was he'd go to the government of Rome, he was a wealthy man usually, Jewish person, and he would go to the government and he would buy the contract to be able to go out and collect the taxes. And so at that point, it's sort of like when he goes to collect the taxes, and he usually has people working for him, do you think he might want a little bit more than he should be collecting? Yes. So you can see where there's the potential there for, what do we want to say? Being for cheating. Yeah. Embezzlement. All right. We can go on and on. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a story back in September about a 32-year-old, he's not short, rich, self-made man. He used to be a hedge fund manager. And then, like Zacchaeus, he was very, very rich. And his name was Martin. And he used his money to start a drug company called Turing Pharmaceuticals. He purchased the right to a drug. Now, it's an old drug that's been on the market, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing it right, Daraprim. And I say it with a question mark so anybody can correct me if I didn't pronounce it properly. But this is a drug that was used basically to treat an infectious disease. It's a disease you could get from a parasite infection. It was used to treat women who were pregnant that had the disease, as well as cancer patients and those with HIV/AIDS. So he now has control of the drug. And the drug on the market costs $13.50. But he decides that he's going to charge just a little bit more. He decides he's going to charge $750 for a tablet. Martin just kind of reminds me a little bit of Zacchaeus, potentially. Just potentially. Jesus comes to New York. Let's say Martin is in New York, and Jesus comes to New York, and he's walking down the street, there's a big parade, there's people all over the place, and Martin, he can't get close, but even if he could get close, maybe he steps out onto his penthouse balcony suite, and he looks down because he wants to get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus stops. Oh, and by the way, we're all there, okay? We're all there. And Jesus stops right below the balcony, looks up, and says, Martin, I'm coming to your house today. How might we feel?
Why would you go to his house?
Yeah, really? This man is ripping people off. He's calling it in the name of profit, whatever the case may be. Really? That's whose house you're going to go to? Hello, are you not seeing us gathered here today? I mean, come on, Jesus. That man is a sinner. That man is a sinner. But Jesus picked Zacchaeus. Jesus picked Martin. And he didn't say, I'm coming tomorrow, I'm coming in a week. He said, I'm coming today. It's like the immediate. And maybe he got on the elevator, went up to the penthouse suite, and he's there with Martin. And he has a conversation with Martin. And the next thing you know, now Martin has got a beautiful view, by the way. And there's a reason that he has all this. I'm not saying rich people are bad. It's just what he was doing to get that money. He has a beautiful view. And Martin reacts in what is probably the most uncharacteristic way that we could possibly imagine. He says, I'm going to give away half of everything I possess. And not only that, if I cheated anyone, I will pay them back four times the amount. Okay, let's see. $750 minus $1,350 is $736.50. By the way, I had to carry this out and do my subtraction here. Takeaways, I was doing takeaway this, 0, 9, carry the 1, blah, blah, blah. $736 times and 50 cents times 4 is $2,946 for every single pill that I sold to somebody. That's what I'm going to give back. 4 times the amount that I overcharged them for. That's what love does. Love isn't something. We heard love is, love is. No, love does something. Love goes beyond anything that we can even possibly imagine. Salvation in Martin's house, in Zacchaeus' house, came that very day. Not in the future for when Zacchaeus or when Martin dies, but that day. His heart was changed that very day. And that's what salvation is for us. It's about today, knowing that God loves us today and that on this very day we are saved and salvation begins today. Now, the church in Corinth, as we had talked about a couple of weeks, had been arguing over and measuring which gift is more important, right? Have you heard that one before? Well, this is more important than that, and this is more important than that, and I'm more important than this one. And so, like any church, sorry to say, there's a bit of disagreement that's going on in the church. Only it here has gotten out of control, and it's very bad. And so Paul writes them the letter. They're in the midst of conflict, and Paul teaches them what love is. Now, we heard the very common, right, very common reading. I'm going to read an uncommon translation because everything was originally in the New Testament written in Greek. And so anyone can do a translation. And this is a translation that was done by Eugene Peterson of The Message. He said, "If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love." Now, here's what he says. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Interesting translation. Isn't that such an interesting translation? Love never dies. Now, when you heard that, it's what love does, not what love is. It's not love is patient, love is kind. It's love puts up with anything. And I don't know about you, but that's one I kind of struggle with. Because I'm not really good at putting up with anything. And I'm not talking about the putting up that involves any type of emotional violence or physical violence. I'm not talking about that. God, that's not something that you stay in. I'm talking about the kind of puts up with anything that says, you know, if my brother does that one more time, that's it. I'm done. That kind of puts up with, because that's the one that I struggle with, the puts up with anything. Christ puts up with my anything, and he puts up with it again and again and again and again and again and again, says, I forgive you. You see, this passage is really about who we are together in Christ and the way we are supposed to be behaving, even in the midst of conflict, because there will always be conflict. We're human beings. And by the way, we shouldn't be all agreeing on every single little thing, because we don't then grow. We don't see things differently and new. But what we are to do is to love in the way Christ, or Paul, is saying that Christ loves us. It's not about getting the words right, saying the creed perfectly. It's not about any of that. It's about love. And not love of self, but love of the other. This is the way that love is lived out. Jesus is God incarnate, God who comes down, love, unconditional love, who walks with us, who talked with us, because we have the word still today, who went to the cross for us, and who rose again and gives us new life. All so that we will be with Christ forever. But that begins now, all so that we too can love each other in such a way, unconditional love. There's something on this list that may have called to you. I'm going to read it again. And think about what it is on the list that you say, that's something that I'm going to work on. We're never going to get it perfectly, but that doesn't mean that we aren't to work at it. And we don't work at it for the sake of Christ loving us more or saying you're in, you're out because of the way you're behaving. We do this because of what Christ has done for us. It's organic. It's the way we want to behave when we realize the freedom that we have in Christ. So I'm going to say it again. Think of which is the one that you would say, geez, I need to work on that. I know which one is mine. I've shared it with you. Love puts up with anything. But let me read it again. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back. But love keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Love is not a noun. It is a verb. It isn't something that you describe. It's something that you do. It is your action. God is not a noun. God is a verb. Always acting, always coming for us to say, I'm coming to your house today. God is coming and indeed is waiting for you at your home on this very day. Amen. Amen.